Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And a year after the financial collapse, Congress and the president are still struggling to pass banking reform. Wall Street is pushing back hard. Here's President Obama last night at a Democratic Party fundraiser in Manhattan.
I would ask that you join us in passing what are necessary reforms. Don't fight them. Join us on them. This is important for our country.
So the president started that by specifically addressing anybody from Wall Street who happened to be in the audience. And I guess a few would be in the audience at a $1,000 a plate dinner or more. But Wall Street so far is not joining the effort. And the House Financial Services Committee indicated last week that they might cave to the pressure and produce pretty weak reform despite all that's happened to the economy. So joining me now to discuss the financial regulatory reform effort and if Congress might actually do something is Adam Davidson, the international business and economics correspondent for NPR. He also does Planet Money, the NPR blog and podcast, and This American Life series that aims to explain the global economy. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Brian. And Brian, if I can be obnoxious and start off by sort of correcting you a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it's a false story that the White House and Barney Frank and others in Congress among the Democrats are pushing the idea that they're in opposition to Wall Street, in opposition to the banking industry. I think what's very clear, and the president all but said this earlier this year, is that they have not decided to go for fundamental overhaul of our financial system. And they've decided from the very beginning to work very closely with large banks, to work very closely with Wall Street firms, to create a regulatory system that they are comfortable with. The public rhetoric sometimes suggests that there's an opposition, but I don't buy it. I haven't seen any evidence of it. And if you look at the long list of reforms that the president has touted, almost every one of them are identical to what the American Bankers Association and the Financial Services Roundtable, the two big lobbying groups on behalf of Wall Street and financial firms, are promoting. So I don't think there's as much daylight as they're trying to suggest between them.
Well, I think that's exactly one of the problems, is that they are so close, that Geithner is personally so close, that there are so many donors from the Wall Street community to the president and to the Democratic Party. I think Obama carried Wall Street in the election, broadly defined, that you get reforms that are leaving a lot of advocates of real reform very, very frustrated. But even within that context, one of the big reforms that they are proposing, at least big by the standards that they've set for themselves, is to create this new consumer protection agency, and Wall Street is pushing back very hard against that. So could you describe for our audience what this new consumer financial protection agency would actually do and why Wall Street seems to be so scared of it?
I think, and I'll be obnoxious again and correct you again, I don't think Wall Street's as concerned anymore. I think that they won the big fight.
Because they've taken the teeth out of the bill?
Yeah, they've changed what it'll do and how it'll work. So, you know, on the one hand, the other thing I would say is the way you talked about it implies there's a clearly right thing to do, and Congress and the president aren't doing it because they're in the pocket of Wall Street. And that's one of the problems. It's really, 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 really complicated. And what they're doing are the kind of consensus stuff, the stuff that consumer advocates and Wall Street can agree on. So it's not that they're going all the way in the Wall Street camp and all the way against consumer advocates. It's more like they're just doing the easy stuff and avoiding the hard stuff. But the hard stuff almost, you know, by definition, is the stuff that people battle over. So the
let me push back just a little bit, because there has been reporting, and tell me if you think this is wrong and overblown, about the lobbyists from the banking industry, from the investment industry, really, flooding Washington right now since this legislation is actually going through the mechanics of getting passed, and that there's this massive infusion of Wall Street-based lobbyists looking at every jot and tittle of this bill or these several bills to make sure that they are to their liking and pushing back hard against members of Congress who have any power to make them otherwise. Do you think that's not actually happening?
Oh, no, that's absolutely true. I've seen it myself. I know a lot of the bank lobbyists. I talk to them a lot. Yeah, they are. This is obviously the fight of their careers, the fight of their lifetime. And there's no lobbyists quite like banking lobbyists. I mean,
if you
think of someone like AIPAC or the Cuban lobby, when you hear about these groups that have disproportionate power, you know, or at least people accuse them of that, you know, a typical lobbying group will have a lot of influence in one or two or five or 10 congressional districts, but not really have broad national support. Banking, every congressional district has the biggest bank in that district, and the biggest bank in that district is almost by definition one of the largest donors to that congressperson, mm-hmm. one of the largest, you know, connected to all the other business people in that district. So there is no Democrat-Republican divide. Every congressperson, almost every congressperson, has a banker who they are dependent on. And if there is a divide, it's generally more urban-rural. You generally see, like, big city congresspeople like Schumer and Barney Frank against rural congresspeople, but it's not Democrat-Republican. But, yes, this is the fight of their life. But they won it, like, in March or
right.
something. They
but
won it a long time ago. Yes, of course.
And you'll forgive me, Adam, if the idea of there being no Democratic-Republican divide on how to regulate the most powerful industry in the world makes me a little queasy. But go ahead.
There is no powerful consumer
lobby.
There's no powerful consumer coalition in Congress. That is dramatically underrepresented, and the interests of banks are dramatically overrepresented. I guess what I was saying earlier when I was saying it's not a total it's not totally falling in favor of Wall Street is that, you know, there are things that will be slightly painful for Wall Street, slightly, like higher capital requirements. And now that sounds like the kind of boring thing no one understands, but basically banks will have to keep more money on hand in case of massive emergencies like the financial crisis of the last year. That means they can make less money. They'll make money less easily. It'll be harder for them to hide debts and bets and things like that overseas in offshore accounts that are hidden from regulators.
But those are big things, not small things, aren't they? I mean, the fact that they were able to place bets on all these kinds of credit default swaps and other derivatives without having much skin in the game of their own, without putting anything on the table or much on the table, encouraged the bad risk taking that helped to crash the economy to the extent that it crashed, right? And the fact that some of these derivatives and other kinds of investments were not transparent, were not on exchanges and so forth, where regulators or even investors could see what they actually were, also contributed to it. And so those are two really very big things if they really change. Do you disagree?
They would be big if they really changed. I mean, what happens every time you see massive transformation of regulation, and we haven't had a lot of massive transformation since the Depression, but we've had some big moments in the early 90s. There was some. In the late 90s, there was some. In the 2003 with Sarbanes-Oxley. You know, these are pretty big steps. But basically what you see is, you know, Manhattan is filled with lawyers and physicists from Harvard and all those kinds of people who work for investment banks and the like, who are reading all the regulation and figuring out how to arbitrage it, but basically how to avoid the regulation. And, you know, generally what happens is Congress and the president do a lot of talking, they pass a new law, and then they're kind of out of it. They're on to whatever the big story will be next year, Afghanistan or healthcare or who knows what it'll be. But these, you know, lawyers and accountants and physicists are working round the clock every day, all the time. They're paid a lot more than Congress people are and a lot more than you and I are, a lot more than the regulators are. And they're just figuring out how to, you know, avoid the spirit of the law. And that's what always has happened since the history of bank regulation. And there's every reason to assume that'll happen now. They have a bit of an easier time of it because the regulatory overhaul is relatively modest. So, yeah, of course you're right. If they fundamentally eliminated the possibility of Wall Street to take huge leveraged bets on highly sketchy instruments, that would be a dramatic change. But I don't know. Will it take a week, a month, maybe a year for them to figure out lots and lots of ways to structure things to avoid that?
NPR's Adam Davidson descending to Earth for this conversation from Planet Money.
That's right.
Where he resides, NPR's Planet Money. He's also their international business and economics correspondent. Politically speaking, what's Barney Frank's role at this point? Because I think most people think of Barney Frank as kind of a firebrand in this area in a way that Barack Obama or Tim Geithner may not be, and he is chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. What role is Barney Frank playing? Is he actually more tame behind the scenes from the banking industry's point of view than he may look when he goes on CNBC?
Barney Frank is unquestionably the most powerful person in America right now when it comes to these matters. Nancy Pelosi has publicly handed over this entire portfolio of regulatory reform, financial market regulatory reform, to him. The person in the Senate who would have an equivalent job is Chris Dodd, but he's pretty distracted by carrying the torch of Ted Kennedy and trying to win re-election, where he's, you know, in a lot of trouble in Connecticut. And so Barney Frank is without question the single most important person. I mean, he's almost like the emperor of American finance right now. You can rest assured that Ben Bernanke and Tim Geithner wake up every morning thinking about Barney Frank. I assume they talk to him every day, and or at least their people talk to his people every day. And, you know, Barney Frank has always been seen as someone who Wall Street can really work with. They feel very comfortable with him being in this role. They feel very good about him being in this role. There are areas where he pushes back, but you know, he has given them basically what they want. The one tension, so to get back to your earlier question, was this Consumer Finance Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. So the basic idea was you have Elizabeth Warren, who is seen as a longtime scold of Wall Street and the complicated financial products that they create. And the basic idea was give Elizabeth Warren, who is close to Barney Frank, a lot of power to oversee Wall Street and to stop them from creating weird mortgages and weird credit cards and things that you and I don't understand but end up getting into a lot of debt because of.
She's an Obama appointee.
She would be. I mean, she's right now appointed by Congress to oversee, you know, by the Democrats in Congress to oversee the TARP. But the assumption is, everyone assumes she would be appointed the head of this new CFPA. And at first it had, there was real teeth there. There was, you know, there were these rules. Frankly, a lot of smart people who aren't in the pocket of Wall Street thought the rules were a little silly, like there has to be a plain vanilla mortgage, which, you know, that if a bank is going to offer some complicated weird mortgage, they also have to offer something that you can understand. It's a weird idea to me, like, you know, to make banks offer something that they don't want to offer. They're just obviously going to find a way to offer it in a way that nobody would want it. And so it's like a non-law. But it did seem that it would generally up the level of oversight of consumer products. From what I hear from bank lobbyists, this was their big battle. This was what they were going to really fight to the death. But the changes that, you know, we don't actually know what it's going to look like because the legislation hasn't gotten even out of committee yet. But they feel very comfortable with what they're hearing from Barney Frank. They feel very good about it. And I would say that of all the groups I talk to, the group that is the happiest is the Financial Services Roundtable, which represents the 100 largest financial institutions in America. They are the happiest about what Barney Frank is proposing. So that probably gives you a sense of where he is.
For better or worse, the news from NPR's Adam Davidson, the banking industry very happy with Barney Frank. Adam, as always, thanks a lot for coming on. We'll be listening for the Planet Money specials and for your reports throughout the NPR programs.
Great. Talk to you soon.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.